You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Joining us live from Houston, Texas, is Jordan Bastian. And of course, Houston is where the Indians opened up the 2015 season. Opened up on a bum note on opening day, but obviously don't read too much into that. JB, Corey Kluber was terrific on opening day. Probably not overly surprising there. He's a guy who has pretty good focus. I don't think the opening day jitters get to him. But the big news with Kluber is the extension. Obviously, they extended both him and Carlos Carrasco. But let's start with the Cy Young Award winner and how that deal went down. We talked about before that the Indians had a lot of leverage in these negotiations because Kluber is so far removed from free agency. At the same time, there was benefits to the club to get some long-term projection and know where, what percentage of the payroll he's going to be eating up in future years. So what was your view of that deal? Good deal for both sides, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think it's a great deal for both sides. And I think one thing that was interesting from talking to some people just about the structure of the contract, which has a lot of different layers to it, was Kluber kind of came to them and said he almost wanted something that could be like a lifetime contract. And obviously they don't give out lifetime contracts for players, especially pitchers. But what the Indians tried to do, because he's in a unique situation in terms of where he is with his age, is they have now built a deal where it could potentially keep him in a Tribe uniform through his age 35 season and set him up for, that's not an age usually where you're going to get a big, huge, long deal in free agency.
Right.
So they've set it up nice, and they put in a lot of layers where, to build in for trade scenarios and a lot of escalators where the salary is what it is, but he has the potential to earn even more money by continuing to perform at a high level. So I think it was a great deal in terms of kind of accomplishing cost certainty on the Indian side, and also the potential to earn more and stay in a Cleveland Indians uniform for a long time for Kluber's side.
Yeah, it was a creative and well-thought-out deal, and the escalators are great for Kluber, and the base is great for the Indians. So happy to see that worked out for them. Hope everyone's happy with that. The Carlos Carrasco deal is definitely, comes across as much more team-friendly. And Kenny Rosenthal had a piece that explained how that came to be. Really some interesting stuff in there about Carrasco having I don't think you call any heart procedure minor. It wasn't, a stent or something that major, but certainly something that was a scare for him. And him thinking about that moving forward really played a big part in that deal, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I mean, and obviously this wasn't a major issue because at no point did it disrupt his spring training or his off season. He obviously had the procedure, but he's healthy and ready to go. And obviously, I don't think the Indians would have invested even at a team friendly rate if they thought there was some major concern there. So just that's first of all, but second of all, you're right. I mean, I think anybody that has a brush with mortality, can have that heightened sense of the importance of security, especially in his case. He just has a new daughter who just arrived, and he has four kids, and he really has had a career that, much like Kluber, in the sense of patience has finally paid off, and he kind of is not necessarily a late bloomer, but, they kept giving him chances, and he turned it around down the stretch last year, which is good to see, but there's some inherent risk there, and I'm sure he knows that too. That, just like we all know, it was only a 10-start sample. He knows that, and so he's looking at that, from the security of it for his family standpoint. And yeah, maybe it was a lower deal than he could have got, but at the same time, they also again included some escalators, included some options, and tried to, insert things into his contract as well that would benefit him in the long run.
I don't think on August 1st of last year, either one of us would have predicted an extension for Carrasco. That would have seemed not in step with the way he pitched well out of the bullpen, don't get me wrong. But, he's come a long way in a short time, and it is a 10-start sample, but they obviously saw some very real things within that. And just that sense of stability they built there. And
And we talk about it all the time, but it really did start with Francona coming over here, and he himself has been extended since then. But talk about coming a long way in a short time for an organization to be where they were in August of 2012 and to be where they are now. It's just a complete 180 in terms of that feeling of stability and that feeling that they're building something together.
Yeah, it's been pretty remarkable how quick this thing's turned around. You're right. I think Tito Francona plays a huge role in that. And one thing the Indians have to do is they have to hit on these types of deals. They have to hit on those smaller trades because, I mean, we know they're not going to go and win bidding wars in free agency or sign the top international talent that hits the market. So they've got to, you know, find ways to get creative and to invest in the right guys. And I think what they've done here, which is really important, is they know now what these guys are going to earn through their arbitration years. And I think that's very important because if those players go year to year and they do perform like they did down the stretch last year, those arbitration rates can skyrocket. So there's cost certainty in these guys. And if they just go forward as innings eaters, it's still really cost-effective deals. So I think it's a really good situation for the Indians because now as they plan for potential payroll additions in future seasons, they now know a little more specifically how much they already have committed, and that's important.
Hey, JB, now that they have all this cost certainty going forward, can they go out and get that big right-handed bat this week?
That's right, the big right-handed bat that they need. That's right, right there in the middle.
Big right-handed
bat. I think Brandon Moss, watching him this spring, I think over time people will realize a big left-handed bat is just as cool.
It is just as cool, man. But you know, I don't dismiss the left on left issue this club has and has had in recent seasons. We saw that opening day when they got Keuchel'd, Dallas Keuchel. He can probably do that to a lot of clubs, but you know, that's not a small sample of struggles there for them against more especially the top of the line left-handed guys. So, what's your sense of that moving forward? I mean, there's only so much Francona can do from a lineup juggling standpoint, obviously.
Right, and I think the one thing that, I mean, Keuchel's kind of in that upper echelon of left-handed starters, so you hate to read too much into that, but what I thought was interesting is when he left, you saw Tony Sipp come in, former tribesman.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about the timing of it was, so Francona kind of bit the bullet and went with three lefties at the top of his lineup with Bourne, Kipnis, and Brantley, and he put switch-hitting Jose Ramirez in the nine hole, and the Astros, after Keuchel had seven shutout innings, saw Ramirez leading off, followed by three lefties. So they brought in the lefty, and he was effective in holding the Indians in check, and that set up the win in the ninth inning for the Astros. So I think that's what you're going to see a lot of this year is not only, maybe some issues against left-handed starting pitchers, but that there's that piece of the lineup where if it lines up right for an opposing team's bullpen, the Indians are going to see a left-handed pitcher every single time. And I think we've grown accustomed to seeing that over the last few years. I think over the last two or three years combined, only the Mariners have had more plate appearances against left-handed pitchers. So teams are trying to throw lefties at the Indians, and for good reason. I think their OPS was 14th in the American League against lefties last year. So obviously that's not great. It's going to be a challenge all year, and the one thing that Tito had talked about in terms of doing that lineup was the way they're built, they're going to have a run of lefties at some point in that lineup. And he figured if he goes out of the top, he feels that those are three of his best hitters. And the idea is to beat the starter, not try and worry about what's going to happen when relievers come into the game.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's kind of backed into a corner, and that probably is the best strategy out of the gates here, but it's definitely be something that's going to bear watching over the course of this season. And, you know, who knows, if this team's in it and you get towards a trade deadline, if it continues to be an issue, you know, maybe that's something they got to look to address.
And they go get the big right-handed bat. From a starting standpoint, I was on another show yesterday, and somebody made the point, well, how many elite left-handed starters are there? I go, well, two of the top three left-handed starters in baseball are in this division, so that's not ideal with Chris Sale and David Price, of course. But all right, so last thing, JB, neither
either you or I think we've both been away enough that we haven't gotten to see those progressive field updates, seen some pictures. They look pretty good. But how excited are you just to check that out on the day of the home opener on Friday?
You know what I'm excited about, and this is kind of probably funny, but the kids' clubhouse. Because once a year I try and, when I'm not working, bring my son to the game. And he actually cried when he heard that they were changing the kids' clubhouse. He was very upset because he loved it so much. So I thought it was funny. Shapiro put out a photo on Twitter the other day of Chris Antonetti going down this two-story slide in the kids' clubhouse. And I've been texting pictures to my son or to my wife to show my son some of the things they've been doing there to kind of like reassure him, like, hey, buddy, they're making it better. It's awesome. So I'm excited to get in there and kind of see some of that stuff, and I'm sure other parents kind of feel the same way. And then obviously just that center field section, being able to walk in and kind of have that sweeping view. I know over the winter, even as they were still doing construction, I thought it was pretty impressive when you were walking downtown to kind of see into the ballpark. And it was noticeable, like I said, even when the cranes were there. So I'm sure it'll be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they're doing a lot of the right things, getting a lot of cool concessions stuff in there, getting creative with ticket ideas. They have the one where you can get a beer on the Indians and watch the game from that corner bar. I mean, I think the Indians are trying to provide many ways to convince more people to come. And I think you got to at least tip your hat, to them in that regard, trying to put a winning product on the field and trying to give things at the ballpark to, entice people to come check it out. So it should be interesting.
Absolutely. And now I think it's our job to convince them to put a couple seats for writers and some outlets in that corner bar. We can so that'd be a pretty good vantage point, I think, and get a grilled cheese from Melt and write your story. I think that could work out pretty well for us. But until that happens, we'll continue to do this little podcast. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. It's been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.